discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Have you ever felt like you just don't quite fit in? In your church, have you ever looked around at all the extroverts and wondered, what's wrong with me? And have you ever wondered why church doesn't make you feel like so many others seem to? Well, if so, there's a new book you're going to love, and its much beloved author joins us today. Brant Hansen is an award-winning, nationally syndicated radio host and an advocate for healing children with correctable disabilities through Cure International. His podcast with his friend and radio producer Sherry Lynn, the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, has been downloaded millions of times. And this good man has just penned a new book called Blessed Are the Misfits. Great news for those who are introverts, spiritual strugglers, or just feel like they're missing something. And we get the chance to meet this fascinating character on the road today. Welcome aboard, sir. Great to have you here today.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you, Ryan. I appreciate that.
I believe that you have been making this speaking and musical pilgrimage across America in support of this book. So where do we find you today, good sir?
Well, I'm actually at home today, but then I head back out tomorrow. And yeah, we've been doing what we call the Misfits Tour. And you know what's been awesome? And I didn't know how this would go down, but we decided to do comedy, me and my producer, and just invite people. And it's been huge in terms of attendance and whatnot. And there's been an awful lot of people who are just like what you'd expect. They don't quite fit in. A lot of people like me are on the autism spectrum, and that's part of it too, or their kids are, or people who are analytical by nature. They're just generally not maybe concert goers per se normally. And it's been jammed. It's been 800 people one night and 1,000 people the next night, full houses. And I think it speaks to how much people want to hear that God loves them, even though they may not seem like they fit in the normal church culture.
Now, this, if you're listening, may not seem like a sensible question to ask Brant at this point, but here's the thing. From what I understand, you are the most passionate person I have ever heard of about the subject of a certain breakfast food called toast. What? Can you take me inside this, sir?
I used to eat a loaf a day, like a loaf a morning, but before 9 a.m. I would toast it with no butter, and it would be burnt. And honestly, I still would, except I finally did the math on the calories and the carbs. I mean, I'd love it that much. And what's funny, too, a lot of people love Asperger's. I mentioned I'm on the autism spectrum. Not everybody, of course, but there's an awful lot of us that are very similar. We just like dry, crunchy things. And so, yeah, I'm a huge fan of toast. If people give me a hard time about it, I love it.
As we leap into the topic of this book, is it fair to guess that people are somewhat surprised to hear you label yourself an introvert, considering what you do for a living?
Yeah, I think if people knew, though, if they talked to people who are radio or any kind of performers, a lot of comedians. I've interviewed a lot of comedians too, and very introverted. And I think part of it is we're in the studio, usually by ourselves or with one other person, and it gives us a chance to essentially have a conversation that we can control. We don't have to read all of the data that's coming in from body language and interactions, and we don't have to make small talk about the weather and stuff. And all those things are wonderful things. It's just, it is a relief if you're an introvert, honestly, to have a certain job where you really don't interact with that many people normally. It's just you and the microphone, and that can be beautiful.
Well said. Well, you mentioned it a couple times already, but your journey with Asperger's syndrome plays a big part of this. Can you lay out how that impacts you when it comes to sort of relating to people on the traditional extrovert-introvert metric?
Yeah, well, I'll put it this way. Let me put it in terms of how people relate to God. Like, I wrote an article for CNN.com called Mr. Spock Goes to Church. And that was the best way I could sum up how it is for some of us. Mm. And if it's not for you, like if you're listening to this interview and you're like, well, that's not me, you might know somebody in your family who goes to a worship service or something, and they just kind of stand there and they're not having the same emotional experience that you are. And the danger with that for a lot of us is that if we are taught that that's what it means to be spiritual, is to be emotive, or outgoing or evangelistic easily, like just you talk to people and you just, you know, overflowing with good God feelings. And you talk, like, if you equate that with being spiritual, you have to wonder, what's wrong with me? Mm. Like, has God given up on me? Did I do something wrong? And honestly, I did struggle with that for a while. Like, I guess I'm such a sinner, or I'm such a skeptic, or something, God walked away because I don't feel him around me. Mm. And what I've come to learn is that there's an awful lot of people that, even if they have a lot of emotions when they first become believers, things change. And it doesn't mean that God walked away from you. You may go through decades of spiritual dryness, and it may not be indicative at all that God doesn't love you as much, or that he's not working through you. So that's the kind of news I wanted to bring people to. Actually, God still loves you. We still, even if you struggle with depression like I do, I spent a chapter on that, or you struggle to pray effectively like I do, or you're not particularly emotional about worship music, or you don't feel God around, like, God can still use you, and spirituality isn't about emotion. It's about actually disobeying God and being humble before him. That's what he's looking for, not emotion. So that's good news for a lot of us who think that, you know, or something's gone wrong with us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us on the spectrum, we do have a hard time relating to emotional appeals, where we kind of watch and go, I don't understand what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's fascinating. Thanks for that explanation. The voice of Mr. Brant Hansen, not just his voice, his whole body, I'm assuming, is on the other end of the line. Is that fair?
Yeah, the whole thing is right here. That's exactly right.
He's a nationally syndicated radio host, the author of Blessed Are the Misfits. Great news for those who are introverts, spiritual strugglers, or just feel like they're missing something. I had the same experience with a book that I've heard a lot of other people describe as well, which is... You kind of explained a lot of things about myself as an introvert that I didn't really know how to put into words. And one of the ways you did that was describing what church looks like for a person who's introverted to walk into. And I think we don't even think about just how church is built for extroverts by extroverts, for gregarious people, but you really describe what it's like. Can you kind of take us inside that for what it's like for an introvert to approach a gregarious church?
Well, I'll say this, like, if the church thinks that being ebullient or bubbly means that you are in touch with God, it's really hard. I mean, like, I remember having people pray over me because they were like, well, something's wrong with him, basically. He's too intellectual or something. I wasn't emotive enough. So they surrounded me and prayed over me and put hands on me. And then they finished and they were disappointed because I didn't change. And I was kind of devastated because I was like 20 or 21 years old and I wanted whatever they had, that excitement. And that can actually be a real blow for people. I think a lot of people wind up walking away because they feel discouraged or they don't feel like they belong in this, or God's abandoned them or something. So yeah, that can be an issue. The other thing is the emphasis that we put on evangelism, which is a gift that some people have. And evangelism is a gift in the New Testament. Not everybody has a gift. Some people do, but we kind of foist that on people who don't have it. And then those people, like me, can go through our lives feeling extremely guilty that we're not as evangelistic as Francis Chan or Billy Graham or something. Like,
yeah.
These are people with gifts, and we should support them, but there are other gifts in the body, too, and ours are just as important. So there's kind of this bias towards being a certain personality type, again, that we equate with being a good Christian, and it's really unfortunate, and a lot of us need to hear, it's like a healing balm to hear that God still loves us, and he actually, we're not broken because we're introverts. We have gifts that the body needs as well.
Hmm. Well, and that's really what I want to dig into with you. But can I just say, you use the word foist, which is a beautiful word. I just wanted to salute you for using the word foist.
You know, it's funny. I got in trouble in kindergarten because my vocabulary, I thought I was putting on or some way. It's always been a thing. I never really know. I think a lot of it's from just reading old literature, and I use all these old words, and I don't even realize I'm doing it.
I love it, brother. Brant Hansen here with us, the nationally syndicated radio host, the author of Blessed Are the Misfits. Great news for those who are introverts, spiritual strugglers, or just feel like they're missing something. And let's get to that great news, because really the central message in a lot of ways of the book is that it's okay to be a misfit, whether it's an introvert or something else, and there's a vital place for you, which is spectacular news. How do you get to that conclusion?
Well, there's so many people I know who are wise and older, and they don't have these emotional encounters like we would think. Again, I've known people that say, you know, God told me this morning, and then God told me, and then God told me. I was like, well, what do you mean by that? And it may be that they're hearing God's audible voice, and I can't discount that. I have to believe that's possible. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what's going on. But I haven't had that experience. So someone might say to me, you know, something's wrong with you. But actually, the good news is, like, when I look at the scriptural narratives and actual stories, people will say, well, he talked to Noah. I'm like, yeah, five times in 950 years. You know, like, to raise this as a level of expectation that we're going to be filled with this constant sense of his presence. The reality is we can go years and years and years without that, and God is still looking for faithfulness, and I can still be faithful. There's a lot of people who have gone, maybe at the beginning of their walk with Christ, they have all these great emotions. It feels like church camp or whatever, or there's different things. And then as the years go by, it changes. That doesn't mean your relationship is dead. It doesn't mean it's gone. It means it's entered into a new phase. And the fact is, if you're yearning for more, like, I want to feel more God, you're going to get that answer, but it might not be until the wedding feast. Like, there's going to be a wedding. We're not there yet. We're in this kind of betrothal engagement period right now. And we're looking through a glass dimly. So I think this yearning that we have, I think it's a good sign. Like, I want more God. But the fact that maybe you're a little frustrated, like, I'm not feeling it, like, it's understandable. It doesn't mean he's walked away from it. And I think that's what the great news is. It's like, look, if you go 50 years without hearing the voice of God, or without feeling his presence, or without getting super emotional, it's okay. He's just looking for faithfulness. And I can obey him, and that means praying for my enemies, praying for people who persecute me, caring for the poor, caring for people who are marginalized, loving my family when I don't feel like it. That's actually what love often is when you don't feel like it. So I don't have the feelings, but that's not what God is associating with spirituality. He wants obedience, and I can do that. So the party's big, and we can all get in, even if we struggle with depression or maybe don't have these awesome, amazing spiritual experiences that other people seem to be having.
There is a story in the book that was much more convicting than I anticipated that it was going to be when I started to read it, which was, you talk about going to a church, an adult Sunday school class, before your radio career had really taken off, and so many people listened to you and knew who you were, and then you come back years later after that's happened. Can you take us into that story and what it taught you?
Yeah, well, I love how Jesus doesn't do status stuff with people. So again, I wrote a chapter about, you know, reaching out to the people. Blessed are the people who, you know, you don't notice. So anyway, what happened was weird. I went to my wife and I were trying to get plugged into a church when we relocated to the city, and we went to the Sunday school class. There's like 12 people in there. Nobody even acknowledged us. It was adults. They didn't even say hi. They had this discussion. They wouldn't even look at us. They acted like we didn't exist. And after a while, it even got funny, and my wife and I were looking at each other like, they're really going to go the distance here without even saying hello. It was in a small room. So we got done. No one said hi. We laughed about it. We didn't come back for years. But in the interim, I had become this radio host and, you know, Christian famous in the area, whatever. Well, I came back, and the pastor had us sitting. This is a big church, like, you know, 1,500 people sitting there. Well, they wanted us to sit down front, and then during the service, he had us stand. He said, ladies and gentlemen, Brant Hansen is here with us. I want you all to recognize Brant. Everybody applauded me, and I'm like, I'm the same dude that you guys wouldn't talk to before. And so I got a kick out, like, this is not the way we want to be. And I laughed with him later about it. I'm like, I was ignored. And then you find out I'm this radio guy, which doesn't change a thing. And suddenly I'm significant. Like, the church is not supposed to work this way. Mm-hmm. And if you're not noticed, like, God sees you and he loves you. And you may not be the person at the conference who's speaking in front of 16,000 people with all these leaders learning from you or whatever. You may be the person who's cleaning up after that conference. But God sees you. He knows who you are. He knows your name. And I love that about him, that he doesn't operate like we do.
That is so encouraging. The nationally syndicated radio host, the author of Blessed Are the Misfits. Great news for those who are introverts, spiritual strugglers, or just feel like they're missing something. Mr. Brant Hansen is here with us today on the road for Faith Radio. And people who listen to you know about your great sense of humor, and I really enjoyed how you tackle this tendency that we have to take ourselves just a little too seriously as human beings. And you actually have some tips to help with that, right?
I just think there's a lot of value in being silly. And the word silly, like, for some people, they think, oh, that's, you know, we shouldn't be silly. God doesn't want us to be silly. Silly means superfluous or extra, you know, it's, we just don't need silly. The word silly in the original German root that it means innocent. And like, kids laugh, right? I mean, they laugh 10 times more than adults during the day. And I think it's because they trust. And they don't have all these worries that we put on ourselves. And I'm like, I actually do. I know it's not necessarily funny to talk about, but I do want to be sillier. I think Christians should be the silliest people on the planet, because there's a joy that comes from being innocent and not carrying around anxieties and just being able to laugh about everything. So I do think there's something to it. That may not be what you were talking about in the book, but I'm going to look it up and I'm going to figure it out later.
No, that's spectacular. I love it. That was amazing. There's so much validation in the book, you know, for those like myself, to be quite honest, who've always felt a little bit like a misfit in some sense. But you then go ahead and take it that one step further, and it really sounded to me like what you were saying. Yes, in many ways, this is tough. This doesn't always make sense, but pray even when it feels strange. Be in community even when it's awkward. How was that the message that you landed on?
Well, so I know it's true, just looking at who Jesus is, and I keep refocusing on him. Because I talk about this in the book too. I kind of grew up with a difficult church background and parenting background and all that. And so I have to keep looking at the Gospels in particular and saying, okay, I've got a cartoon version of God in my head that I've grown up with. I want to see what Jesus is really like. Because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And for somebody like me who struggles with doubt, who struggles with this other stuff, with depression, with all sorts of things. Like, Jesus is the best news ever. If God is like that, that's wonderful news. And just the way he treats people, the way he lifts up the marginalized, the way he blasts people who are full of themselves, the way he acknowledges that none of us are good, none of us. So the gig is up, the self-righteousness business, and if people are so self-righteous. I struggle with it too, but good grief, like, this Jesus pokes a hole through all of that. I'm very attracted to that. And I know I need people around me because of my tendency to want to justify myself. This has to be a team sport because I have to have people to point out stuff because I'll fool myself. So I do talk about that for people who struggle with community and being a part of things, why we still need to do it. You know, it may not look like church, theater church with a stage and a band and all that, but we do need a church community, maybe meeting in homes or a simple church or something. We need something with people who love us and lead us and speak into our lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've had the chance to hear you speak and to listen to your show, and as passionate as you are about communicating, as passionate as you are about humor and radio, it really seems like it takes it up a notch for you when you start to talk about your relationship with Cure International, and this is something that really holds a special place in your heart. So I just wanted to give you a chance. Would you just share a bit about their mission and how you're involved with it, sir?
Yeah, get this. I didn't even know about this. And when I found out, I'm like, okay, why has no one told me about this? Cure has these hospitals around the world. They're Christian hospitals that heal kids who have correctable disabilities. So if you're born with something here, it can be fixed really quick. The same conditions elsewhere in the world, it means like a lifetime of begging and complete rejection. And if we can fix it, why wouldn't we? So it made perfect sense. I just didn't understand why we weren't doing more of that. Like, because we're making kids be able to pick up their mat and walk. So that's what these hospitals do, and they tell their families about Jesus. And every story, as I visited these hospitals, it's like stuff out of the New Testament where they go back to their villages and people say, we told you you were cursed. Your child's cursed. How is he healed? Or how's she walking now? Or how's she even still alive? And they'll say, it's these Jesus people. They healed us, and they told us that God loves us. He hasn't cursed us. He loves, like, this stuff, for somebody like me who feels like a misfit and wants to see Jesus in action, like, really wants to see it, that flips my switch. So, and if anybody wants to know more about it, or you can even see the kids that are in the hospital, you can see what Cure does. It's so beautiful. You can just go to cure.org. And I'm telling you, it is the most beautiful thing, because I feel like I'm seeing Jesus at work in a way I've never seen before in my life. And I needed that.
Man, very special stuff. And, you know, we knew this was going to go fast, and sure enough, it has proceeded at a swift pace, this conversation with Brian Hansen, the book Blessed Are the Misfits, Great News for Those Who Are Introverts, Spiritual Strugglers, or Just Feel Like They're Missing Something. Sir, if people want to learn more about you, your ministry, your show, and pick up a copy of the book, where's the best place to start?
Well, the book's available everywhere, the Amazon.com, all that sort of stuff, Barnes & Noble, and so forth. But I'm at BrantHanson.com, and be happy to connect on there. Thank you so much, by the way, Ryan. Great questions. I love talking to you.
Well, it was a pleasure to talk with you as well, too, sir. And we just appreciate your ministry so much, your authenticity. We have just a couple of minutes left, and I suppose the one thing that I should continue to ask about is puppets. Because from what I understand, you are not only an author, a radio raconteur, an advocate, but you are, in fact, a puppeteer.
I can't help it. My mom is so into puppets, you would not believe it. Like, puppets everywhere, thousands of handmade. Because they do, like, this puppet ministry. So I grew up with this, surrounded by puppets. And when people wonder, like, how are you so strange? All I have to do is just kind of tell them some stories. And they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But yeah, tons of puppets all the time.
Brian Hansen, ladies and gentlemen, it really was a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.